you can host the best backyard barbecue. When you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
Well, hello and welcome to Spin the Rally Pod. It's a pre-Rally of Portugal. Spin the Rally Pod, and this time, I suppose it's a spin light, David. It's just me and you.
It is. It's a diet spin.
It's quite a nice little analogy, isn't it?
That whole concept of diet is quite alien.
It's something we talk about rather a lot, but do
very little
off. But there we are. Rally of Portugal, David. Well, we're here, aren't we? We're in Portugal. We're in the lovely, lovely town of Porto, which is home for Rally Portugal these days. It always was traditionally, wasn't it, until we went to the Algarve for a little while.
Yeah.
We're back
actually,
in Porto.
We're actually in Foz.
Are we?
I think so, yeah. That's what it said on the sign.
Okay.
Near our house. We're in a dirtfish house, which is absolutely fabulous.
It is fabulous. On the banks of the river...
Douro.
We can see the river Douro. We can almost see the old town of Porto. We can see the Atlantic Ocean.
And if we walk out of our front door and walk 100 metres to the right, we can also see Saturday night super special, which is called Porto Foz.
Which we came across this evening. We didn't actually realise until we drove along the seafront. Literally. And we'll be able to hear the cars from our lovely balcony on top of the house as well. It's going to be an exciting week, David. Let's start off really by giving our listeners just an overview of the rally because... Well, let's start by saying it's the first time we've been on gravel since Rally Sardinia last year. 220-odd days, two-thirds of a year since we were on gravel. That's a long, long break, longer than I can certainly remember in recent history.
Absolutely. I mean, ordinarily, you'd have looked from early to mid-November, Rally GB. Remember Rally GB?
Good I'm old fiddling days. With my knobs here, David. I'm really sorry. You look very concerned when I start fiddling with my knobs.
Yeah, is that?
Here's the thing. Here's
is that
thing,
red
guys.
Light supposed to be on?
Well, no, it's not. I'm going to turn down a little bit.
Yeah.
Here's the thing. You know, when David does his test, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, he's got a lovely, big, booming voice. We kick off the podcast, and he's like a little quiet.
Sorry, should I talk louder?
No, she's talking normally.
Will you stop fiddling then?
I'll stop fiddling.
Right. So as I was saying,
sorry.
We'd usually go from early November. Rally GB to Mexico.
Yeah.
March, which is November, December, January, February. Mm. That's 4 months.
4 months. Well, that's
so
a third of a
more.
Year.
Yeah.
We're twice as long as that. We're 8 months. Long time since we were on gravel. So it's going to be interesting. I don't think it'll take any of the drivers an awful long time to get into things this week. I think they'll be reveling being back on gravel. There's no question about that.
They've all done a pre-event test. Some have even done some testing in the new 2022 cars.
They have.
No, they haven't.
Well, they have. Well,
no, they haven't.
Well, they've tested with the hybrid units, haven't
but
they?
But only Hannanen's driven the...
Well, who drove the Hyundai?
Yeah, but that wasn't... Oh.
Who drove the M-Sport car? None of the drivers that are driving this weekend. Matthew Wilson drove the M-Sport car. Yeah, okay.
Who did drive the Hyundai?
I thought it was Tanak.
That's a very good question.
I thought it was Tanak.
Can we get Mr. Adama on the line?
Can we get Mr. Adama? Phone him now. Phone him and ask him. Go on. While I'm going through, phone. Send him a text.
No,
him a text now while I'm going to tell our listeners.
I'm not
send him a text.
No, I'm not because you tell me never to have the phone on because it'll interfere with
just that. That's on videos.
It'll interfere. No.
Okay. All right. You don't want to send Mr. Adama a text. Have you fallen out with him?
I will send him a text.
Right. Just tell him. Now, so what I'll tell you, while David's sending a text to Andrea, just to confirm who was in that car at the pre-event, not the pre-event test, it was the first outing for the Hyundai, the 2022 car in the south of France. Well, do you know what? With these cars that we're seeing, we've seen, obviously, images of various cars testing. I don't know if they're anything like what we're going to see next year. Yes, the hybrid system will be the same. The running gear will be more or less the same. But what we're seeing on the externals, I doubt very, very much that that's anything close to what we'll be seeing next year. As David taps away, I'm also going to give you a little bit of information about this event. Do you know this is the longest rally that we've had since Rally Germany 2019, David? It's good. It's good to see us returning. Yes, we had to have shortened formats, particularly when we returned in Estonia last year. We were shortened formats, really, at the start of this year. But this one's a proper chunky rally.
I think perhaps just it's maybe worth just explaining briefly why some of those shorter formats came. Because, you know, events like Estonia, Monza, were organised almost at the last
Sardinia.
Minute. Sardinia sort of less so. Sardinia was a little bit longer, but certainly the new events, the Estonia, the Monza,
yeah,
the Arctic at the start of this year, they were new events, and they were essentially, they were conceived really very quickly, weren't they? Within 6 weeks, 8 weeks, something like that. So it was much more straightforward to put together a 2 day...
There's a beep, beep from your phone. Is that our friend, the boss?
Yeah.
What's he said?
I'm not really sure. We should really check if we should be allowed to say that.
Oh, I'm going to put my glasses on.
Are we allowed to say that?
Oh no, I don't know. What? Can I say it?
No, I'm just saying, should we say it? You said it. Were we allowed to say that?
Been in the 2022 car.
As well.
As Tanak.
Yeah. Wow. With these sort of things, we should prepare, Cole, before. This is why I said we shouldn't have texted him, because now we've talked about that whole thing. Maybe we should have to... Do you think we should delete that bit?
I think we'll put a beep over that. Beep. Just a note to Lisa. Note to Lisa, who's our lovely editor. That name that we were just talking about.
Yeah, because Lisa won't forget, will she?
No, she never forgets. She never forgets.
That are going to embarrass us.
So let's get into the rally, David. Let's talk about really what to expect this weekend. As I say, it's a long rally. It's a good chunky rally. We've got two defining days. You know, every day has got something to look at. The opening day, we've got the Arganil stage. We've got really quite a challenge, because it's a shortish day, 100 kilometres, but there's no service.
Yeah,
there's
a tyre zone
in Arganil. Now, let's talk about the road conditions, David. We've been out today, we've had a look. What do you think? What do you think we're going to see out there tomorrow morning?
It's almost impossible to say, isn't it? Because if it rains heavily overnight, and you're about to check the weather, aren't you?
Well, I am. I am going to check my weather, because I don't think it is. The forecast I've been looking at says rain Saturday into Sunday.
So we're now going to base the rest of this podcast around AccuWeather or something, are we?
Yeah, no, it's good AccuWeather. It's good. Don't you worry about that.
I think that would have a big bearing on it. So tell us, Colin, what's the weather going to do?
Well, let me check something else. But while you just talk about what we've seen out there today.
What we've seen is actually real divergence of conditions. You know, in certain sections of Arganil, for example, it was incredibly smooth. We think that these are the sections that they use for taking the trucks up to the wind farm.
They are. Well, basically what happened, though, because we had the route from the 1980 Arganil stage, which is the stage that Walter Rall did those incredible heroics on.
And it was used throughout the
70s and 80s. At times, the route that we had deviated from the road that we were on, which is this year's stage. And what it is, it's where, you know, it's been too rough, that stage, and they've cut, as they've put these wind farms up, to get these massive trucks with the wind turbines on them, they've had to cut new sections of road around some of this really gnarly
stuff.
Nice wide
roads as well.
And you know, it's really lovely and smooth, isn't it, in places? And it's almost over-prepared in places.
But I reckon if that gets really wet, it's almost like clay base, isn't it?
Well, I'm going to give you an update on the weather. So there is a 40% chance of a shower tomorrow in Porto. Arganil is how far south of Porto? Were you paying attention when I was driving today?
2 hours. It's a long way south.
It's an hour, 100 kilometres. 100 kilometres. So it's different weather
You're
conditions.
Very slowly
so
though,
the weather forecast for tomorrow in Arganil is a little overcast, but no rain. No rain in Arganil. The rain that might come this weekend could come Saturday afternoon on the stages.
Okay, in that case, it will clean. It will clean, and Sebastian Ogier will struggle, I would imagine, on the first loop. There was, in certain sections, particularly out some of the slower junctions, just after the recce, there was a huge amount of loose coming up. So he'll lose time under braking and coming out of those tighter sections. So you've got to be looking down, further down the running order towards someone like Danny Sordo. What's that face all about?
Oh, it's the rain. It's the rain. I'm checking the forecast. You're absolutely right. We do have to look. Let's stick with Friday. We'll talk about Saturday later on. Don't you look at my...
You're going to get all dramatic about the weather.
I was going to get dramatic about the weather. Not very often, does it? It really doesn't happen often. Yeah, I think you're absolutely right. We have seen a lot of rain in this region last week and early this week, but it's been dry since.
It doesn't matter, though. I mean, 26, 27 degrees today.
Yeah,
windy up on the top.
But that clay is still damp. It retains...
No. It was bone dry. It was... Honestly, you should see your face right now. You are looking a lot like a beetroot. So it was so hot.
The section where you were doing a piece to camera, and we were there for... 45 minutes.
It was a very complicated piece of camera.
It was a very complicated piece of camera, but that bit of road actually looked damp. I had plenty of time to study it, David.
Shut up. I think that's probably... you'd just been to the loo then. And you were looking at.
No, but I agree with you. Listen, you know, there's an issue. There's an issue with tyres this weekend in that the drivers only have 8 soft tyres. Now... If Sebastien Ogier had a free tyre choice and he didn't have to think about which tyres he was going to use for the rest of the weekend, tomorrow morning he would go out on softs. There's no question about it. The soft compound with the loose that we're going to see out there for the first 50 kilometres would be the tyre to go with, even although the temperature will get up reasonably quickly and there are some already abrasive sections in the stage. He would go with a soft.
It's not a huge amount of distance, is it?
It's not a huge distance, but he needs to think. This forecast for Saturday stages, which are slightly to the north, and then Sunday stages are rain. And remember, the chunky stages come Saturday, 80-kilometre loops.
Yeah.
80-kilometre loops. So he's got a choice to make. And, the logical thinking tells us Ogier will go out first thing Friday morning with soft compounds. I wouldn't be surprised to see him thinking, I can't afford to destroy four.
It's such a difficult one, isn't it? Because what do you do? Mm. Do you gamble on the weather, really delivering on Saturday?
Yes.
Do you save your softs?
You might save your softs and then not use them.
And then there's no rain. That rain already, when we landed here, the rain was forecast for Friday. Now it's moved back to Saturday. Will it deliver on Saturday? You're going to look a bit of a chump, aren't you, if you go out on hards tomorrow
morning. I'm looking a little bit of a chump now as I try to study the map just to check. Yeah, we are going north. We are going north
on Saturday and
on Saturday. Yeah. It is a gamble. And do you know what? Ogier has always insisted on the very best weather crews. Mm. Remember when he went to M Sport in that first year? Yeah. M Sport had quite an interesting weather crew previous years, and it served the purpose. But Ogier said, nope. Not good enough. David, what are you
doing? I'm changing seat.
What, they're exactly the same seats.
No, that one was squeaky.
Was it? Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
I couldn't move.
So when Ogier went to M Sport, he insisted on Meteo Francais coming with him. And a team from Meteo Francais, and they turn up with the most unbelievable kit to tell you, radars telling you when the forecast, when the rain's coming. And to within literally a couple of minutes, they can tell you when the rain's coming. I'm not sure whether he has that at Toyota. It wouldn't surprise me if he has that level of information.
You know, his desire to deliver the best information and the best intel is not going to have...
I agree. But it's going to be a massive gamble for him. Does he hold on to those softs for that big chunky day on Saturday and potentially a big, big day on Sunday? I think Sunday is going to be wet from the forecasts I've seen.
You know, if this is the crucial thing, is we don't know yet. We don't know much about the hard compound. We don't know much about the gravel.
No, that's
about
true.
Either of Pirelli's gravel compounds, because we haven't seen them yet.
Absolutely.
But the one thing that we do know is that the hard tyre is pretty rock hard. You know, it's very, very durable. Touch wood, it's puncture proof. You know, this is a tyre that was born and bought up essentially on some of the roughest and hottest roads in Sardinia, wasn't it? That's where they did a lot of their running in the heat of the summer, you know, last year, 40 degrees plus in the middle of Sardinia with Mikkelsen, yeah. So that hard tyre will get through pretty much anything here. You know, even if it went up to 30 degrees, which it's not going to. But that you look like you're...
Might do.
Did it really get up to 27 degrees?
It's what it said on the car. It's 27 degrees today.
So potentially, you know, tomorrow, that hard tyre could work all day.
Not first thing. Not first thing, David. It's not going to work first thing when you've got...
It's not, because you've got stages at 8 o'clock in the morning.
That's not so much the issue. The issue is the first car on the road when you've got that loose gravel. You sit on the top. You don't get the heat into the tyres. And you can imagine that hard, and it's just not gripping into anything.
But if you were Sordo, what would you take tomorrow morning?
I think Sordo will go out on hards. I think there's almost no question, or you'll cross over hards and softs. Mm. He's got the slightly easier choice. The road will be cleaned. It'll be abrasive. We know that Arganil, particularly, so the third stage in the loop, is quite abrasive in places. He can be fairly confident that he will get some heat into those tyres and they will work well, I think, certainly through Arganil and probably through the first couple of stages of the rally. It's an easier decision for Sordo. You know, the big decision for Ogier is use the softs when he needs them tomorrow morning or hold on to them when there may be a chance of this weather coming later on in the weekend. It's going to be interesting. So what I think is going to happen on the opening morning, I think Ogier and Neuville will hemorrhage times. I think the guys that will pick up the time, clearly Danny Sordo, he's led here quite a number of times going into Saturday stages.
But where does it stop? Where do you draw the line? Where does that hemorrhaging of time stop? Is it Elvin? You know, Elvin's third on the road. Then we've got Rovanpera, then Tanak.
Rovanpera and Tanak, I think, are in good positions.
You see, the issue for them is that in these really soft areas, this is traditionally the issue in Portugal, is that there will be some big rocks embedded just underneath the surface that the first two or three cars will dig out.
Yeah.
And they're sometimes right on the line. And when you're committed, there's nothing you can do. We've seen it time and again where drivers have come into a corner absolutely on the line. There's a huge rock there. Bang, there's a steering arm gone or a drive shaft.
And you know, the speeds they're doing in these roads, and some of them are narrow as well, you know, there isn't a lot of hazard avoidance option, is there, in places?
It's not. You know, your pace notes are designed to take you on the fastest possible line through that corner. Not the almost the quickest line, just in case, leaving a bit of margin, just in case there's a rock there. It's always, everything is pushed to the absolute maximum, isn't it?
It is. So, yeah, you know what? I think the decisions about tyre choices tomorrow morning get easier the further down the field you go. There's no question about that.
There's not. I think, very quickly, what we should, you know, you need to consider. There's a really interesting story at every turn, isn't it, with Ogier leading the championship. So let's go team by team. Ogier leading the championship. Elvin chasing that first win of the year. Came very close. Needs to get over that psychological
fastest
thing.
Down.
Irrelevant. But needs to get over that.
Thank you for that, David Evans.
We're pretty sure that there's some shenanigans going on with tyres from Shakedown. So let's not pay too much attention to that. But Elvin had, you know, lost Croatia by such a narrow margin. Needs to come out here and beat Ogier.
Irrelevant.
Okay, Kelly Rovanpera had quite a big accident.
Oof.
We spent quite a lot of time looking at that shunt in.
You can have a look at that video on Dirtfish's YouTube channel.
Needs to rebuild his confidence. Great place. He's done this event a few times before. Would be a really good event to rebuild that confidence, potentially in a good place on the road. So great story there. Move to Hyundai. Thierry, what does he do? You know, yesterday he said, didn't he, that he's finished third on every round and people are saying, oh, when are you going to win one? He's quite right when he said, tell you what, I'll finish third on every round of this championship, all 12 rounds, and I'll be champion. And he will. Of course he will. So now he's balancing this need for consistency to just stay somewhere on the podium with the desire to win a rally. You know,
do you know what? There's one thing that's guaranteed in life.
Uh-huh.
If you keep doing the same thing, day in, day out, week in, week out, year in, year out, you're going to end up with the same results. It's just it happens. You know, if you want a different result, you have to change what you're doing.
Yeah, but does he want a different result?
Yes, he does want a different result. No. But I'm talking about his championship challenge. He's been the bridesmaid so many times in the championship. What is it, 4 or 5 times he's been runner-up in the championship?
Yeah.
So he needs to change something. He's changed his co-driver. Okay, that wasn't a decision that he made, but he's changed his co-driver. Maybe, as you say, he has changed his approach.
I'm going to do a little bit of research while you're...
It's not a push to win every rally for Thierry Neuville. He knows now how to construct a championship challenge.
Mm.
And, you know, finishing every rally on the podium, as you've pointed out, could well be enough to take him to the title this year. There's no question that if he is performing at a level where he is on that podium every event, David... It will come his way. The win will come to him, that is for sure. But you're quite right, he does have a decision to make here. He's got a...
See, I'm not so sure. I should just...
What were you doing?
Make the point. I was just having a quick look at how many points were scored in 2019 by the championship winner, which, of course, was Ojt Tanak. He won the championship with 263 points.
In how many rallies?
In 13 rallies. So,
20.25 points a rally.
Third place on 12 rallies would deliver Thierry Neuville 180 points.
And then if he won every power stage, that's another 60.
Yeah, it's still it's 240. He's not going to win every power stage.
No, he's not. So, well, he hasn't. So I think so far. What,
Thierry, take this. We're doing this this detailed analysis for you. You need to start winning rallies if you want the championship.
Yeah, but third place, the better one to look back at 2017, because 2017 there were seven or eight drivers won rallies that year, and I think we're going to see that again this year. I think we're going to see that this year. I think we're going to see Neuville win rallies. I think we're going to see Robin Perra win a rally this year, Evans win a rally. I think there will be four or five drivers will win rallies this year, maybe six drivers. Mm. And what does that mean? It means we haven't got one or two drivers dominating, winning and accumulating massive numbers of points. So, again, it's different strategies when you sum up how the season's going. You know, 2017, third on every rally would have won you the championship. I guarantee you it would have won you the championship. I've said that. Someone's going to come back to me now and say, no, it wouldn't if we worked it out.
But that's all very interesting, but keeping this sort of team by team analysis, it's not irrelevant. Tanak, you know, staying in Hyundai, Tanak, you know, fourth, it was one of the most difficult performances I've seen from him for a long time. And just, you know, he just sat back and took the points, couldn't make the car work as he wanted it to in Croatia. How does he bounce back? I think he will bounce back in the most ferocious fashion here. I think he'll be absolutely on the money from the word go.
Ferocious fashion. Like that.
He'll be right there. He'll be right there pushing for his second review.
What do you make?
I'm still going through this team by team thingy.
Are you making a point?
Sort of.
Go on, finish the point.
Well, no, it's quite a long point because then we've got Danny Sordo who hasn't driven on gravel for...
No, but I'm talking about Tanak before you move on to gravel and to Sordo. I want to talk about Tanak and I want to ask you what you made of Tanak's comments after he signed the contract, and that's happened between Croatia and here. Mm. L'Oreal was brought into Hyundai. And he basically said, 2022, new car, new start. And I thought, I thought, my goodness me, he's writing off 2021 already.
No, I don't think so.
The championship challenge is still there for Tanak?
Of course it is. And you listen to, or you look at the effort that's been put in by Hyundai since this time last year. You know, the number of extra events they've done, the number of developments that they've bought. They've used every joker. You know, that car has developed tremendously, hasn't it?
Well, I know it has, but I still feel that he's not comfortable with that car. Is that just on tarmac? Well, you know, in previous seasons, you'd have said, well, tarmac, there's only a couple of tarmac rounds. You know,
there's four or five this year.
Yeah, we've got three towards the end of the year that could easily decide this year's championship. We've got Ypres, which will suit Neuville down to the ground, and we know he can work that car. We've got Spain, and we've got Japan at the end of the year, and
There is more to come from that car on tarmac.
Okay, let's wait and see. Let's move on.
Sordo.
So rudely interrupted.
Danny Sordo,
your point.
Who won the last round of the World Championship on gravel?
Well, it was Sardinia, as I pointed out, 220 odd days ago.
Which was who?
Well, it was Danny Sordo's second win in a row in Sardinia.
Yeah,
jumped into the water in Alghero. He won't be doing that this year.
No, jumping in the water in Olbia.
I wouldn't like to jump in the water.
I actually think he was very brave jumping in the water in Alghero because it was October. It was quite chilly, wasn't it?
It was very chilly.
It was. So, but again, another great story. Mm. Just to see Sordo back. And
can he win here?
He absolutely can win here because he's, as we've said before, you know, it's closer to home actually geographically here than Catalunya. I think it must be.
Yeah, well, he's in the north, isn't he? He's not far. Home isn't far at all from here.
East a bit. Yeah, exactly. So he's always talked of this almost as a home round. Gets a lot of fans coming.
I'm going to ask you a question again here. I believe so. It's in Europe. I think there's free travel still in Europe, isn't there, across the borders in parts of Europe? I might be wrong.
Yeah. Don't take that as red if you're a Spanish fan
No. I get into enough trouble as it is, David. I don't want to be blamed for a Spanish invasion. I love Danny Sordo, and I genuinely believe that Sordo right now is in the best place he has been in his career. He is happy with his program, really happy with his driving, and I genuinely feel his driving is as good as it has been at any point in his career. I think he's an all-round driver who understands how to get the best out of his car. But Sordo's Achilles heel has always been changeable surfaces, changeable conditions, grip levels.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. You know, if it's full wet, Sordo knows how to deal with that. If it's full dry, he knows how to deal with it. If we get changeable grip out there, which is very possible, particularly on Saturday, For me, that's why I would question Sordo winning this one. I think if it was forecast to be completely dry all weekend, I'd put €5 on Sordo winning. Mm. I think the forecast on Saturday makes me a little nervous of Danny Sordo's chances of winning this one.
But you never know, because if it's bone dry tomorrow, he could end tomorrow with a really big advantage.
And then Huge advantage.
You know, he's managing a 30, 40, 50 second gap. Mm. I think that's unlikely. Let's move on to M Sport. Adrian Formo, Gus Greensmith.
What have we done? We've done Hyundai and Toyota, have we?
We haven't done Takasan.
We have, exactly. That's why I was... Takasan!
Katsuta. Is he going to end this run of sixth places?
And move up to fifth or fourth?
I think he could.
I know you're saying that clearly Shakedown was irrelevant, but he had a good run in Shakedown. Should we be surprised now at Takamoto-san's level of performance?
No, because he does have good experience. He's done this event a few times. He's got the sublime co-driving talents of Dan Barrett next to him.
So he's found some consistency this year. Sixth place finishes.
And some
speed.
But
don't forget he had an awful run on gravel. He had that big crash.
Sardinia.
Well, but before that, he had that big crash in Estonia.
And then two crashes in Sardinia?
Yeah, you know, he had that massive one across the top on that final stage. Yeah. It wasn't the power stage, was it? But it was the first running of the power stage.
Yeah,
that
which
lovely
was
Sassari,
one.
Wasn't
it?
Was it the one that goes down to Sassari-Argentière, it's called? Yeah. Can he put that behind him? Has he put that behind him, Takamoto-san? Will that be in the back of his mind, the fact that he's built this consistency at the start of this year, but he's yet to face the gravel challenge?
I think he will have, yeah.
You think so?
Absolutely.
What can we expect from him then?
Fifth.
Yeah.
Fourth.
I'm going fourth for Takasan this weekend. Yeah.
Okay. That's good.
Write it down.
Good.
Write it down.
I'll write that down.
Sordo to win, Takasan fourth.
And on to M Sport.
On to M Sport.
Yeah.
Yeah. Listen.
Huge. I mean, massively encouraging, wasn't it, from Formo in Croatia?
Come on. You know, let's give him a little bit of credit where it's due.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
You know, I think it was a massively encouraging team performance from M Sport. I think what we saw was a really good debut from that new engine.
Yeah.
As well as clearly a driver in Formo who has potential, real potential. He showed that potential. And I'll put my hand up, I'll be honest, I didn't expect it from him. He didn't set my world on fire, in the R5 car. Yeah. He just didn't. He didn't do an awful lot. He was good, he was quick at times, but he didn't. You know, when we saw the likes of Ogier in the past, when we saw clearly Rovan Pera in the past, what we're seeing from Solberg now, we didn't see all of that from Formo in his R5 days. But my goodness me, we saw it in Croatia. Those stages where he was second quickest on two stages, it made you think, hang on, I've maybe not given this kid enough credit.
Mm. And it did, you're dead right. It did overshadow a real step from Gus as well.
Yeah.
I think Chris Patterson in the car, it all worked. And there were times when with Gus, you could see the body language and everything. Things had clicked for him. And so much of this is about confidence. He comes here. I think this is Gus's favourite event of the year. So I would expect to see Gus ahead of Formo here. I think Formo will struggle here just because he's not driven this. You know, there's a world of difference, isn't there? Mm. You know, he understands perhaps the car a bit more on tarmac and, having said that, he's got good experience on gravel, but I think to bring a world car here is harder, especially when you're fighting against drivers who understand the roads, they understand the way that the road will evolve into the second pass, and they'll have a much clearer idea, even though they've never used these tyres before, of a tyre strategy.
I totally agree with you. I think it'll be a struggle for him to get close to the sort of performance we saw in Croatia.
Maybe not in terms of the result, but certainly in terms of the stage times. I'd be surprised to see him set in second quickest.
But really encouraging. Really encouraging for M-Sport. How frustrating must it be for, do you think, Timo Sunnerin, though? Because Sunnerin is one of those drivers who has a chance of a seat next year at M-Sport, and there are quite a number. But he needs to get in that car and prove himself. Now, he will be back in that world car later on in the year. Back in Sardinia. Is he frustrated?
I spoke to him after Croatia. He was incredibly pragmatic. Talked a lot about the fact that, you know, it's being right now in your career, if you're in a Rally 2 car, it's always the end of the world because you always want to be in a world rally car. But Tamer made a very good point that, looking towards next year when the Rally 1 cars come and they've got no centre diff, less advanced front and rear differentials, much less aero, five-speed gearbox, sequential box. That's essentially a Rally 2 car, isn't it? So he's taking experience.
Well, we can still call it an R5 car, can't we? What are they? We've got a couple of Rally 2s out there now, have we?
No, they're all Rally 2s. It's the Rally 1s that you're thinking about.
Is it?
Yeah, they're all Rally 2s.
Are they? Okay.
Yeah, we've been through this, Colin.
Have we been through it, David?
It's getting quite late now.
Oh, jeez. Fair enough.
So he was reasonably relaxed. And he also understands that the key thing for him is to be on the event, to absolutely keep that experience going and to keep...
But even more key than that is when he gets that chance in that car, he has to show us he can do it.
This is my... Yeah, totally. This is a little bit my issue, that one of the things that I want to write, and maybe take in your opinion, Cole, on this, is it the right thing to do where, you know, we've seen what Andrea Adamo is doing with Hyundai in terms of that third seat. He is doing the best thing for Hyundai. He is... Because, you know, when he's rotating the likes of Breen and Sordo, he's giving them inherently the best place on the road for that event, isn't he? We've seen it here.
Sordo for manufacturer points.
Totally. But is he hindering Craig Breen's and Danny, you know, less so Danny Sordo's career? Much of it is now behind him. But someone like Breen, you know, has a good career ahead of him. Is he hindering him? Because he's not giving him the chance.
Of course he is.
And this is the issue, you know, historically we've seen this all the way back to whenever, you know, Skoda ran, Mitsubishi both, you know, in the early noughties, ran these programs with the likes of Christian Solberg and all
Skoda,
of these different
Skoda players. Skoda, you know, did the same, didn't they, with their World Rally car. We saw Jani Passanen and various
exactly.
others.
Exactly, all of these. And the minute they get in the car, it's like, wow, here's my opportunity. Watch this. And they're off within a couple of stages.
And that's not happened with Hyundai. Why hasn't that happened?
I think because Adamo's kept a very, very tight rein on them. And he's made it very clear what he expects from them and where he expects them to finish. But, you know, this is quite a convoluted point, but to bring it back to Sunderland in Sardinia, does he get in that car thinking, crikey, I've gone really well here. I've led this event. You know, remember that
and
last
Sardinia
year?
And Sardinia is massively punishing to cars. You know, we've seen Prokop, okay, it was a super special stage, but, you know, we've seen on particularly that Friday morning in Sardinia in the past, you know, guys who we wouldn't expect, Hanninen up there in the top three. I think Prokop was up in the top two or three,
but
fourth
maybe.
But
do you not remember that really tricky, slippery stage last year, the first stage that we drove through?
Yeah.
Taimu was unbelievably quick
through the cork trees, through the cork farm. Yeah,
astonishing.
Five, six seconds.
And then the year before, he was second overall to sort of. So he knows he can go. So where is his mindset when he gets in that car? He thinks, I can win this, and I can absolutely show the world.
I think he has to. I think he's got no choice.
But there's a real risk to that strategy, isn't there? Or is there? Maybe there's not, because M Sport has nothing to
lose. If he doesn't get this seat next year, his top line career is over.
It's a point.
He's at a point in his career where he's had the dice in his hand. And he's been shaking the dice up to now. He's been shaking them, and nothing.
He's not showing us anything.
You know, the dice will be thrown in Sardinia for Teemu Suninen, and if he comes up with a double six, he moves into that car next year. If he comes up with a double one, off you go. It's at that point in his career.
I was just going to ask you. You are sitting in Malcolm Wilson's office, in that lovely office, behind that lovely
beautiful
view out the window. Who do you sign for next year? I was going to ask you that, but actually, let's not, because we've gone on quite long enough.
I'm going to tell you now, before someone else comes up with this strategy, but I'm going to tell you what I do if I'm Malcolm Wilson, because I don't want anyone else.
This is about rotating driving again.
Correct. It is 100%. Yeah. I don't think there is available to Malcolm Wilson someone who can fight for the title next year. A genuine driver, other than the obvious, obviously, Sebastien Ogier.
Elvin Evans.
He is not available. Technically, he is available. He is not available. Elvin Evans is going absolutely nowhere.
He's available.
He is going nowhere.
He's available.
He's going nowhere. You know that as well as I do.
He's available.
He's going nowhere. So let's take Evans out of the mix, and let's just assume that Ogier will retire. He may not. I think that's a big assumption, by the way. I think there's every chance. Ogier and Malcolm have a fantastic relationship.
So who?
So take them out of the mix. There's no one. There's no one that can win him the driver's title. There are drivers out there who can win him rallies. So I think the focus will change, and I think the focus will be to target rallies. And I think I would be looking at the Adamo model, because Adamo has given...
Lappi, Suninen, Mikkelsen.
Breen. as well into that mix. Mm. Maybe even Hayden Padden. I'm not writing off Hayden Padden. You know, I would put someone, Breen, Monte Carlo. He's got a chance. Anyone's got a chance in Monte Carlo. I would put him into Breen into Sweden because he goes very well in
Sweden.
And Breen and Lappi in Sweden. Yep. I would then bring in Mickelson for the first gravel rally of the year, who will start at the back. And if it's Mexico, he's got every chance of winning.
Absolutely.
You know, and give him the next two. Then bring in your third driver for the third gravel rally of the year. Target wins strategically and don't target championships next year. Now, Malcolm Wilson is such a competitor, he will find it very difficult to accept that. He will find it difficult to accept that he can't fight for a driver's or a manufacturer's title and that he has to just target wins.
Well, if he's got drivers winning regularly, he's going to be building those manufacturer points. So he could be winning.
What
I think's happening right now?
Is that quite a good strategy?
As John Steele back in Dovenby Hall in Cockermouth is listening to this, I think he's actually taking off that M. Wilson nameplate on the door, and I think he's putting Colin Clark up there.
You asked me if I was sitting in his position, and I have sat at that table.
That's remarkable.
But I honestly think it's getting to the point where that is perhaps a consideration that he has to look at. It's a strategic approach to winning rallies as opposed to a strategic approach to winning championships next year.
Let's wait and see.
But David,
we do need to talk very quickly about WRC2.
Go ahead.
Obviously, we are missing our great friend Andreas Mikkelsen here, who is not
COVID
very well
positive.
With coronavirus.
Poor
we wish
chap.
Him absolutely all the best for a very swift recovery.
He's a young, healthy lad. He's an athlete. And as you said, he's got a bit of a sore throat, a little bit of a sniffly nose, a bit of a temperature, but he's fine.
So who else is there? You know, there is Esa-Pekka Lappi.
Who isn't there?
There's everybody. Ostberg. Oliver Solberg out for the first time, scoring points.
Sooner than, as you've already mentioned.
Chris Ingram.
He's had a good time in Shakedown.
It's
irrelevant.
So, and even that chap, the football fella.
Villas-Boas.
What's his first name?
Andrea Villas-Boas.
And who did he...
Tottenham Hotspur, didn't he?
Was he?
And Benfica or something, or Porto, I can't remember. Might have been a boy from here.
He seemed like a very nice man.
But a boy that's been a young man, younger than me and you anyway.
Young man who's been a
fan of rallying all his career. But he has said, Villas-Boas, that his future in rallying is in cross-country. He's a huge cross-country fan.
Is he?
Yeah. So I
was never
surprised
a fan
me.
Of cross-country. Cool.
But I love cross-country rallying, I have to say.
I do really love it.
WRC2 is really, really difficult to predict. Never, ever write off Mads Osberg.
Also, super competitive field in WRC3. And we even have the juniors here. It's a proper full house, isn't it?
It's a feast, David Evans.
It's an absolute
feast. Our table's booked for 8:15.
Yeah, we need to get out.
How do you reckon Gary's getting on with our editing upstairs?
Let's hope he's getting on very, very well and very, very quickly.
Folks, listen, really is going to be a wonderful weekend here in Portugal. Thank you very much.
Just before we go. Shut up. But look out the window. What's happening out there, Cole? What is happening?
Reasonable point, David Evans. That is a reasonable point. Well, we were upstairs doing our video, which you can see as well on dirtfish.com. Beautiful blue skies. It is clouding over. You're absolutely right. There's a weather change.
You can't see any sky. That's 100% cloud cover.
It's very high, very light cloud, but he is correct. It is 100% cloud cover. Folks, thank you very much. Don't forget, you know, stick with us, dirtfish.com. We will have videos, we will have analysis, we will have the very best written pieces from the world's best rally journalist, who is... that man opposite me, David Evans. Dirtfish.com.
That's very kind of you, Cole.
Listen, you are far too...
We really should pay tribute to our superb colleagues as well. The likes of Luke Barry and all of our friends.
But this is the way you create a team. A great winning team is you put the very best person in place and you put the hungry, young, keen pups underneath.
Have you been talking to that
Villas-Boas? I have been talking tactics with Villas-Boas. That's exactly what we're doing. You're quite right. You know, it's David that leads our journalistic side of things. He is our chief... What's your title? Lisa always gets it right. I get it wrong.
Senior staff writer. Senior staff writer.
He's still as hungry as ever. I can test it. You should have seen the plate of food he ate last night.
Very good.
Folks, as I say, stick with us. Dirtfish.com is the place to be for all the action, all the drama as it unfolds here at the Rally of Portugal.